It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Kimbrel deals in the air, deep left field, hit well. Benintendi on the run. He's got it! And the Boston Red Sox are headed to the World Series. The Red Sox will celebrate on the road once again.
What can I tell you? I'm in a good mood. Holiday weekend coming up. A lot of you either on your way to where you're going, or maybe you're just on the way to someone's house. Whatever it is, you're getting ready for a nice long weekend. So feel free to join us here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock. 617-779-0985. And given the holiday weekend and everything else, let me just tell you that anything and everything baseball, by all means, feel free to call. Again, 617-779-0985. But what we just played for you there, obviously, was the final out of the American League Championship Series. And the Red Sox beat the Astros in 5 games last year. It was the last time they were in Houston. And so they return there tonight, opening what I think is a huge, huge, enormously important stretch of their schedule here over the next month or so. 17 of their next 27 against teams in the American League that have been playoff teams for a good chunk of the first half here. And the last time I checked, a couple of days ago, the Red Sox were out, and then they got back into that second wild card spot. But the bottom line is the top 6 teams in the league, one of which are the Red Sox. The Red Sox will be facing the other 5. The Astros, whom they also faced a lot last weekend and lost 2 or 3. The New York Yankees, they will also face during this stretch. Cleveland, Minnesota, Tampa. You are going to see all of those clubs during the next 4 weeks, and I think is a enormous, enormous stretch of the Red Sox schedule in terms of determining who they are, where they're going, and what they will do as the trade deadline approaches, which honestly isn't that far away. So we have a couple things to get to, one of which is this weekend series. Another one, to me, that's really significant tonight, I did not expect this, was the starting lineup. So, Murray, now that I think of it, I don't know if you have it right in front of you. I may have it here. Never mind, I got it, Murray.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So, the Red Sox starting lineup tonight caught my attention. Okay, now your pitching matchup tonight in Houston is Chris Sale for the Red Sox against Wade Miley of the Astros. And while I'm at it, I'll tell you that tomorrow it's David Price against Brad Peacock of the Astros. To me, the Red Sox should win both of those games. They have the pitching matchup in both of these games. Sunday is Justin Verlander pitching for the Astros. And I think it's Eduardo Rodriguez for Boston. So no matter who's pitching, really, other than Sale or Price, I give the edge to Houston in that one. But the Red Sox have an edge in the first 2 games, and they've had generally, during the early part of the year here in particular, they've had trouble with series openers. So now is a good time, I think, for the Red Sox to jump on an opponent and get a win. You don't want to lose this game tonight with Verlander going Sunday. You put pressure on Price tomorrow. So to me, that's a It's an important opener. It's an important series opener as much as a regular season one can be in the month of May. The Red Sox lineup against Wade Miley, and this is really the piece of news. Michael Chavis is back in the leadoff spot. Mookie Betts is second. Bogarts is third. J.D. Martinez is back in there as your designated hitter. Steve Pierce hitting fifth at first base. Benintendi drops from leadoff to the number six spot. He's in left field. Nunez is at third, so no Rafael Devers in the lineup either. Sandy Leone is your catcher with Sale on the mound, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is in center field. So the notable part of that, obviously, is that Chavis is back in the leadoff spot for the second straight day. He was your leadoff hitter yesterday in Toronto, and we all thought it was probably a one-off thing. Well, he's back in there tonight. So the question I have, is this now a permanent thing that Michael Chavis is going to bat leadoff? Or are we looking at a platoon type of situation, left-right? And by that, I mean Benintendi's still in the lineup tonight, but he's dropped to sixth. Benintendi hasn't hit lefties this year. He really hasn't hit lefties his whole career. So I'm wondering if Alex Cora has reached the point where he says, you know what, I can't put this kid in the leadoff spot, not especially against left-handed pitching, because it just doesn't work. So you know what? I'd like to leave Mookie in the number two hole. And if Chavis can hit leadoff against lefties, that's where he's going to hit. We know from his time in Houston that Cora likes the idea of having a leadoff hitter that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. George Springer does it for the Astros. And by the way, Springer back in the lineup tonight for Houston. So this is something I want to talk to Ian Brown about of MLB.com. Ian covers the Red Sox. He's down in Houston. We don't have a reporter down there who was able to send us back audio of Alex Cora from the pregame. So therefore, I want to have Ian on and ask him all these questions about the lineup, because I think there is something to get to there. So that is sort of the, what's going on in the short term in the nutshell. Big series with the Astros. Sale on the mound tonight. Chavis is your leadoff hitter again against Wade Miley. And the Red Sox have the pitching advantage tomorrow as well with David Price against Brad Peacock. And I mentioned, too, J.D. Martinez back in your lineup tonight. So 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls. We'll speak to Ian in a little bit later on in the show. I also want to get to the Red Sox prospects or lack thereof and get an assessment of really what, if anything, they have to deal in that minor league system. Because this all relates to the stretch of schedule you're going against, et cetera, et cetera. Charles is in Connecticut. We'll kick us off on Michael Chavis. What do you got, Charles?
Hey, Tony. Great to be on your show. I really enjoy it. One quick note on the NBA before I get into baseball.
Okay, no NBA. Charles, it's a baseball show. You got to stick to baseball.
Okay, got it. Okay. I'd like to see the Red Sox play Chavis at first base as a right-handed option versus Pierce, who's starting to come out of a slump. But, I think Pierce is probably going to be let go at some point. And they put him at every other position in the infield. I'm tired of seeing Benintendi swing at the first pitch every at-bat.
Charles, before you go on, if you play Chavis at first, and I don't hate the idea, who plays second?
Well, either Holt or Nunez.
Okay, so, and listen, I'm not telling you that is impossible. I mean, Nunez in the lineup tonight, albeit at third base. I don't love it. I'd rather have Pierce hitting at first base and Chavis at second base than Nunez in the lineup. So you said you think Pierce is the one that's going to get let go. I think Nunez is the guy that's going to get let go. Chavis changes the whole dynamic in the infield. So remember, they signed Nunez before last year because they were worried about Dustin Pedroia. As it turns out, Nunez can't play second base to the level that they need him to, which is why they went out last year and got Ian Kinsler. Okay? Now, Holt bats left-handed, but Holt is a utility man, which is fine. Chavis came up and hit. He's right-handed. Nunez is right-handed. If Chavis can play second base as well or better than Nunez, and he can, what do you need Nunez for? You don't need Nunez. So it really comes down to Pierce or Nunez. Which one do you want to keep? And Pierce has been garbage here in the early part of the year, but he has started to hit. Let's see how it goes. He has a proven track record of being able to hit left-handed pitching. So I'm willing to wait it out a little bit with Pierce. I want to see how that one goes. I know what Nunez is. Pierce can bat in the middle of the lineup against lefties. Nunez is a bottom third of the order guy who can run a little bit. And I like Nunez. I like what he gives you off the bench, but he too is a utility guy. So what I'm getting at ultimately is How many utility guys can you carry? Holt, Pedroia, Nunez. Like, you can't carry three, and they have Zhu Weilin in the minor leagues. So Nunez is the guy to me that hits the road. I give Pierce a little more time. Dean's in Shrewsbury on Steve Pierce and his contract. Go ahead, Dean.
I think I disagree with you. I think Pierce is the one who should hit the road. If you took his $6 million off the books with that $246 million that you mentioned the other day, you could overpay Kimbrel for the rest of the year.
So, Dean, let me stop you there. The money's guaranteed. Whether you release him or not, you're paying it. It doesn't come off the books.
Yeah, I'm just saying in hindsight that you could have had the flexibility to overpay Kimbrel for the rest of this year.
Okay, well, again, that ship has left the harbor. They committed to the $6 million a long time ago. Right now, going forward, who would you rather have, Pierce or Nunez?
I would rather have Swihart out there.
Okay, well, that's not answering the question. Swihart's gone, too. So I don't know how much time we want to spend in the past. I'm not going to spend the time in the past. Today, going forward, Pierce or Nunez, which one would you pick? And I'm guessing you said Swihart because you didn't want to answer the question. Joey's in Quincy. Go ahead, Joey.
Hey, Maz. You had mentioned why you think Chavis is in the spot instead of Benintendi. I'm going to say Chavis has the better numbers versus lefty. He's got the better average overall. So I think it really has to do with the who's hitting over the who's hitting better lefties, and Benintendi couldn't hit a lefty for anything.
Okay, so Joey, listen, I think that much is clear, right? That part we know. There's a lefty on the mound tonight, and Chavis is hitting leadoff again for the second straight game. So in retrospect, is this something, you know, maybe this is why Cora put him up there yesterday to get a look at, you know, to see how it looked and whether or not he would do it again when they got to Houston. Maybe that was the idea. So I know why he's there tonight. At a minimum, it's to bat leadoff against lefties. The question is he there to stay? Is he there to stay against righties as well? So I can give you the numbers against lefties, and the numbers against lefties are striking. Michael Chavis against lefties has an OPS of 980. Andrew Benintendi, 671, and he's batting 205. Now, oddly enough, the on-base percentage is in favor of Benintendi. Benintendi has drawn a bunch of walks against left-handed pitchers. His on-base against lefties is 389, which is very high. It's quite good. Chavis is only 290. So what it's telling me there is that Cora looks at it and says, I'm not looking for my leadoff man to get a walk. I'm looking for my leadoff man to do some damage. And against left-handed pitching, Chavis is slugging 690. Again, Benintendi is slugging under 300 against left-handed pitching. He has 8 hits against lefties, 8 for 39. It's a 205 average. Only 3 of them are extra bases, all doubles. So the question is Chavis there only against lefties at the top of the order? Or is Chavis there permanently? Permanently. And the only way we're going to know that is one of two ways. We wait till tomorrow's game when the Astros are throwing a right-hander, or we talk to someone who's in Houston tonight and can tell us what Alex Cora said, which is why when we come back, we're going to check in with Ian Brown of MLB.com, who is in Houston and can tell us why the change in the lineup. That's next.
High, deep drive into left center field. That one's way back there. Carrying, gone! And now Chavis has struck again, and the Red Sox are in the lead again.
I'm going to tell you something. You cannot leave a breaking ball over the heart of the plate to Chavis. You just can't do it. He's going to mash that pitch.
That's from Wednesday night. Chavis's game-winning homer against the Toronto Blue Jays. He's had a huge impact on this team, Chavis has. And again, you know, I told you, something about his personality rubs me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, that's neither here nor there. You know, you love him because he hits, and really that's all that matters. If he produces, he stays, and everybody's happy. So his personality should be a non-factor. And I do agree with Jerry Remy, by the way. This is more than a few times now that Chavis has gotten a hanging breaking ball, middle in, and destroyed it. So he sits on those pitches, it feels like. I mean, there's no secret there where the guy has the kind of swing that he has. You throw with velocity up in the strike zone, he's going to have a hard time. But if you throw something down in the strike zone, particularly if it hangs there, he is going to crush it. And there are a lot of guys, a lot of young players, young hitters that have difficulty with off-speed stuff at the major leagues. Chavis is not one of them. You hang a breaking ball of any kind in there, he's going to absolutely destroy it. And so he's back at the top of the lineup tonight. I find that interesting because it's two games in a row. There's a lefty on the mound. Benintendi didn't play yesterday, right? Do I have that right?
I honestly forget.
I mean, I think Benintendi had the day off, but you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's bring in Ian Brano of MLB.com on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And Ian, you tell us, what did Alex Cora say about the decision to put Chavis back on top of the lineup tonight? What's behind it?
Yeah, you know, I asked him about it. They sort of looked at that short wall in left field that looks like Green Monster close there here in Houston. He said, that's why right there. So he just thinks that he can run into a pitch from Miley and give him some instant offense. But, you know, to tell you the truth, Tony, the bigger reason is just that Benintendi, for whatever reason, not doing well in the leadoff spot, especially against lefties. Got a decent on-base percentage against lefties this year, but he's just not it's more a matter of Benintendi right now, and they're just trying to get some sort of spark at the top of the order. So he said this is something he could see for a while, is Chavis batting first against lefties.
Okay, so Ian, this was my question. Is this a one-time thing? You know, like you mentioned, the wall in left field, clearly it has something to do with more than that. Is there any chance that we would see Chavis at the top of the order against right-handed pitchers?
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, hey, if that's their best lineup, you know, and Benintendi, for whatever, I don't know if it's a mental thing, but he just doesn't look as comfortable to me hitting leadoff as he did hitting second last year. It's weird. I remember that actually Pedroia used to not like to hit leadoff, and it's just, you know, one of those things where some guys just aren't as comfortable at leadoff. So, you know, they're going to maximize their offense any way they can get it, but you know, right now they're going to see how this looks against lefties, and if it gets to the point where Benintendi's not setting the table against righties, then yeah, you absolutely could do that.
So did anyone ask Cora who's going to hit leadoff tomorrow?
Tomorrow should be Benintendi. Well, they go, I don't know the pitch matchup in front of me, but going against righty tomorrow.
It is, yeah, it's Peacock, so I just don't know.
Yeah, so you know, he did not say that Benintendi's not going to lead off anymore. He just said this is right now, this is left the only thing. So I fully expect, Benintendi to hit that leadoff tomorrow.
Okay. So again, it feels like they're going to platoon there in the leadoff spot, essentially, with Chavis and Benintendi. JD Martinez is also back in the lineup tonight. I know that in Toronto, it was reported that he had had an illness, but there was also talk of back stiffness. Is it the second thing that was really the reason he was out of the lineup?
No, it's actually, you know, the first couple of days it really was he wasn't feeling well, and then he had this back, his back acts up every now and then, Tony. It's just one of those day or two things. But you know, I saw him moving around today, and he was moving around quite freely, and good to go tonight. So I think it was just like a minor kind of a confluence of events that took him out all four of those games in Toronto.
Okay, so from what you're saying then is that you don't think there's any real reason to worry about his back.
No, just because it popped up a couple times last year too, and it was always like a couple day thing. I think he's just one of those guys. He's prone to the back spasms, but he seems to be able to get rid of them. So I don't feel like he has any kind of chronic back issues. He's not walking around with a brace. He's not walking around with his back taped up or any other, you know, bandages on his back. So to me, he looks fine.
Okay, again, we're speaking with Ian Brown, MLB.com, covers the Red Sox, has for a long time. He is down in Houston with the team. And he joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I want to ask you sort of about the general overall vibe around the team right now, Ian. Obviously, they took 3 out of 4 in Toronto. They lost the second game of the series. The third one, they blew a couple of leads. It feels like there's instability in that bullpen, Ian. Like, you know, and there was to start the year. We knew that. We got the sense that it was going to be some sort of closer by committee, but it feels like it has gotten worse. If I asked you tonight, they need two guys to pitch the eighth and the ninth. Who do you think they're going to be?
Who would it be tonight?
Yeah.
It'd probably be, you know, Barnes and Walden are the two guys that they're, you know, Barnes, Walden, and Workman really are the three guys that they're sort of, they can count on the most right now. And after that, I agree with you. It's kind of a crapshoot of what you're going to get down there. Brazier just, you know, kind of been, he hasn't really inspired any confidence. So, you know, those are the three guys. And I think right now, Tony, they feel like they're finally hitting again. And they feel like their hitting can cover up some of this bullpen stuff for a while. Obviously, they're going to have to make some moves by the trade deadline or before it, but I think they feel like they can mask it with their offense, with their starting pitching. Hopefully, Evaldi will be back within the next couple of weeks here. So I think that, yeah, they know their bullpen issues, but you're not going to be able to go. It's just too early for the trade market right now.
So, no, and Ian, I'm not even talking about trade. Yeah. I'm talking more about how he's using the bodies he has.
Because
we've seen a bunch of, we've seen three different guys now close for them, right? Brazier is closed. Barnes has closed. Now, Walden closed the other night. I know Hembree has a save, but, some of that is circumstantial. So I guess what I'm asking is this, the situation the other night, Walden got the ninth. He gave up a run, so he blew the save. But you still think that they believe enough in Walden that he's going to get more chances there in the late innings?
Yeah, they like Walden a lot. Look, Barnes is obviously the best reliever, but Cora is more, his bigger concern with Barnes. He wants Barnes facing the best hitters with the game on the line. He's more concerned about that than who pitched the ninth inning. So, look, if the best hitters are coming up in the eighth inning or even the seventh inning, that's when Barnes is going to pitch. If they happen to be coming up in the ninth, Barnes will close. So that's just, it's kind of that Bill Jennings theory of going with your highest, in your highest leverage situation, go with your best reliever. So that's how they're working with Barnes right now. And then you see who's available for the ninth. So right now, I think Workman's a guy they trust in certain matchups. You saw him get a save. I think it was Sunday against Houston. He got his first career save. So he's another guy you could see, Workman or Walton. And Brazier just has to get a little more confidence out of his belt before they start putting him out there. Safe situation, I think.
Okay, Ian, before we let you go, and you already know this, but I obviously spent a lot of time in clubhouses, so I think I know what the answer to this question is, but for the benefit of our listeners, the Red Sox, we're now 50 games into the season, Ian. I mean, we're almost a third of the way through the season. They are basically within a couple of games of 500 against lefties and righties, at home or on the road, winning teams and losing teams. I mean, they feel like they've been really overall, and I know they've played better of late, but if you take the full body of work, they've been a very average team in the grand scheme of things. They have a stretch of schedule coming up now with 17 of the next 27, basically against all the playoff teams in the American League. If you include Cleveland and obviously the Red Sox themselves crept into that final wild card spot, I think, now. But the point is there any emphasis or urgency in that clubhouse or in the organization to say, guys, we got to get on a run here. We need to get on a little bit of a roll.
I did sense that a little bit, especially from, and this team really takes the cue from Cora. Not every team sort of takes the cue from the manager, but this is a team that does. And he was pretty passionate about that today, just talking about how he felt that the Houston series last year, in Houston, I don't know if you remember, a four-game series. They lost the first two.
And won the last two.
And Cora said today, that was when we proved we were for real. So he was getting animated as he talked about it. So it was almost like, look, this is time for us to show this year we're for real. We lost two out of three of these guys last weekend. We should have, they should have won two out of three. They blew that first game. But Cora himself took the blame for that loss, with the decision.
Porcello, right.
With the bullpen. But I think that he's making a statement. Look, we got to, this is a big series and we can prove ourselves. And then the three against Cleveland, four in New York. So they're going to, over the next 10 days, Tony, you're going to find out what kind of team we have here. You're going to find out if this team has presently constituted can win, because this is a great test they have coming up here in the next 10 days.
All right, Ian, listen, I know you got a lot to do down there. We appreciate the time, all right? Thanks a lot.
Good talking to you, Tony.
Okay, again, Ian Brown, MLB.com, has covered the Red Sox for a long time. Ian was on the beat when I did it, and I haven't covered the team in, 10 years, for crying out loud. And he had been there for a while when I left. So he does a good job for MLB.com, and we appreciate him joining us and shedding some light on those lineup decisions. So Chavis is your leadoff hitter. Feels like it's going to be against lefties for a while. I would say just keep an eye on it tomorrow, even with Peacock on the mound, and see what Cora does. Cora's not the type to tip his hand. It is nice to hear the manager say that he thinks the Red Sox need to wake up, because I do too. We'll get back to your calls when we come back. I want to touch on Chris Sale and also the importance of this stretch of games for the Red Sox could have a bearing on their trade deadline, which is why I want to look at the list of prospects they have in their system. We'll do that over the second half of the program.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, again, a little news out of our buddy Ian Brown down there in Houston. Ian writes for MLB.com. But he tells us that Alex Cora wants Chavis to hit leadoff now against left-handed pitching for a little while. They're going to give this a go. And so, you know, the one thing I will disagree with Ian on, and I'm not blaming him, he's just relaying what Cora said, which was when they asked him about Chavis hitting leadoff, Cora looked out to the left field wall and said, well, there's that, you know, meaning the left field in Houston, where right-handed batters clearly have an advantage. And it's no coincidence that the Astros have built their lineup that way. Again, Springer, Correa, Altuve, these guys are all right-handed batters, right? So you go in there and keep this in mind as the Red Sox throw lefties in there. Sale and Price this weekend, not to mention Eduardo Rodriguez. So in theory, the Houston lineup is built to hit against the Red Sox pitching. Nonetheless, the Red Sox beat him in five last year. That was with Eovaldi in the rotation as well. And Eovaldi was effective against the righties of both the Yankees and the Astros. For that matter, the Yankees lineup is right-handed as well. So just something to keep in mind. But the real reason Chavis is hitting leadoff is because Benintendi can't do it against lefties, and they're going to give this a go. It has nothing to do really with the left field wall in Houston. It has everything to do with left-handed pitchers versus right-handed batters. Chavis is better against lefties than Benintendi is. So Benintendi, out against left-handed pitching at the top of the order. Tomorrow's a right-hander for Houston. Let's see if Benintendi is there. Cora gave the indication that Benintendi would still do it against right-handers. Let's see. I'm not sure I believe him, because managers will play this game sometime, and then the next day, you know, Chavis will go 2-for-4 tonight with a homer, and then Cora will say, you know what? I decided to leave him up there because his numbers against righties are good, too. So I want to get to the Red Sox and the trade deadline, the prospects, et cetera. But first, let's bring in Tom and Quincy. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, Tony? Hey, I was going to call and talk about the weekend with Houston, but there's been a lot of good things come up while I was waiting.
So, Tom, I'll tell you what. If you want to stick with that, that's fine, because another thing, and I'm glad you brought this up, another thing Ian Brown brought up, Cora did say, put some emphasis on this series. He said, we woke up last year when we came down here, and he clearly wants to see the team get on a roll.
Yeah, and I think that they need to do that. And, like, when I talked to you last week, like last Friday, about the upcoming Astros series, I said I was a little friggin' nervous about it. But it ended up playing out like I thought. They got one of three. In my opinion, this weekend, I feel the polar opposite. I think that they can take two or three of these. I think they can take tonight. I think they take the Price game. I have no faith in Rodriguez on Sunday.
So, Tom, that's that's really what it comes down to, right? And I'm going to let you go just because I get someone else who wants to hop on, and I also want to get to this the Red Sox minor league system. The first game of the series is huge. It's huge because they have Verlander on Sunday. They have the favorable matchup in the last game. So you got to get the first one. Then you want to call the one in the middle the swing game. That's fine. Sale has been throwing the ball well, and you're going up against Wade Miley. Wade freaking Miley. We had him here. We know what Wade Miley is. And so it is worth noting tonight also, by the way, no Devers in the lineup. Kay Nunez is playing third base. And Miley's numbers against left-handed batters are very, very good. But righties have gotten to him, and they've hit him for power. So, to me, this was this game is an opportunity for them to really pound Miley. And Steve Pierce has started to wake up. He's another factor in this discussion because Pierce was brought here exclusively because he kills left-handed pitching. Hell, he was the MVP of the World Series because he killed left-handed pitching, and the Dodgers had lefties up and down their rotation. So this is the kind of series, or game rather, for Steve Pierce. This is the kind of game you need from Pierce. Okay, so let's see if he's really out of it, because if he starts to hit it, it'll make a difference too. Chance is in a car on Jackie Bradley. Go ahead, Chance.
Hey, Maz. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get to Bradley, I just want to say I think you're exactly right about Chavis tonight. I think it's going to kind of see where he goes from there, especially if you have a weaker right-handed pitcher like Peacock going tomorrow. I think we could definitely see him in there in the leadoff spot against righties that are not Justin Verlander if he does well tonight, just with how he's been mashing the ball lately. But on Bradley, I've long since stopped taking the cheese on him becoming a legitimate threat at the plate for an entire season, but we know he goes on these streaks where he gets real hot for a month, and it seems like he kind of started to figure things out a little bit over the weekend in Toronto there, or rather over the week in Toronto. Wanted to see if you thought with this stretch that we have coming up here over the next few weeks, if you think there's a legitimate chance that he could have one of those runs there where he just runs real hot for a month and helps out lengthen the lineup.
Yeah, so Chance, it's possible. Again, honestly, I would rather have Bradley do what he did last October, which is hit late in the year and get big hits when the team needs them. Hit for power, drive the ball. This is part of the reason they changed that swing in spring training, is that they want him to be able to hit for more power, and they say to him, look, we don't care about the 235. But if you're going to hit 235, we want 20 to 25 homers. And we want some consistency. We would like to see that. So they're losing their pay. They were starting to lose their patience with Bradley there. Remember, he sat there for a couple of games. And it, was it the beginning of the Houston series or the one before? One of those, he sat for a couple of games and didn't play till the end of the weekend. So now I have to go back and look. But, is he about to bust out? I don't know. I mean, I wish I could tell you. It was a little easier for me to know when a guy was ready to bust when I was following when I was covering the team every day. Now I just don't follow it as closely, and I'm not around the team. And so, you could get a sense by watching a guy even in batting practice sometimes that he was getting ready to bust out of it. If a guy would have good BPs, or if he had long quality at bats and was fouling pitches off, you'd say, oh, he's getting closer. The timing's getting closer. He's almost there. And then you could see a guy, and then all of a sudden he would pop and you weren't surprised. So is Bradley there? I don't know. I mean, but at this stage, honestly, I don't think Jackie Bradley's the reason you're going to lose. Like, people in this market are obsessed with Jackie Bradley. And the fact is, he's your number nine hitter. He's your nine hitter. Why do you worry about Jackie Bradley so much? He's not going to hit. That's been true always. So if he hits, it's gravy, but they have enough guys in their lineup now, especially with Devers and Chavis hitting, that they should be able to get offensive production. So now again here, you get 17 out of 27 coming up against good teams. So at the end of June, when this thing ends, and that stretch of games ends basically on June 21st, you're going to have a pretty good idea of what you are and who you are. And you're also going to have an idea of what you're going to need at the trade deadline and what you're going to be able to give up. So I mentioned this earlier in the week, and I want to sort of follow up on it, because the Red Sox brought a kid up to pitch yesterday, and I say kid, Ryan Weber, Billy Lanny, who's filling in for Jimmy Stewart tonight, and Murray. This guy, Ryan Weber, who pitched for the Red Sox yesterday in Toronto, had either of you ever heard of him?
No, and hadn't he pitched a game in 09 or something like that, too? That was like his last major league start.
With Tampa, I think. Yeah. Okay, so this guy's a journeyman. He's not a prospect. And the fact that they brought him up to pitch should tell you plenty. So I just want to play a little game with you two, okay? I want to go through, allegedly, the top 10 prospects in the Red Sox system. Now, I can't access at the moment the Baseball America list, so you're going to have to bear with me, but there's a website called SoxProspects.com that typically lists the best prospects in the Red Sox system. So number one on the list right now is Michael Chavis. Okay, he's in the big leagues. Like, when a guy's in the big leagues, I don't think of him as a prospect.
Agreed.
So he's now a player. And I know that he hasn't proven anything yet over the long term. But Chavis, I think we all like what we see. But nobody wants him to trade him, right?
No.
I mean, why would you trade Chavis?
They'd be sunk without
him. Because he'd get busted again?
That's a good reason, Billy, now that I think of it. So, but the point is, the Red Sox have no players coming through their system. They can't control their payroll as a result. They need good young players to help increase their flexibility. So, fine, Chavis. Second guy, Darwinson Hernandez. Have you heard of him?
Pitcher.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so this guy got a ton of hype in spring training. He's now in Double-A with a 4.65 ERA, and he's walked 25 guys and 31 batters. That's your number two prospect.
How old is he?
Okay, he's 22. The third guy is Tristan Casas. I think that's how you pronounce it. That's the kid they took in the first round last year. He's 19. He's an A-ball. So forget him. Okay, Casas isn't coming anytime soon. We don't know what he's going to be, and I have a hard time believing they're going to trade him a year after drafting him in the first round. The next one is Bobby Dalbec. A lot of fans talk about Bobby Dalbec. Okay, 245 average, but his OPS is in the range of 870 because he draws walks and hits home runs. He's a third baseman right now at Portland. Okay? So I look at Dalbec and I say maybe. Maybe with Dalbec. We'll see. And when I say maybe, maybe he has a chance. But he also plays third base. You have Chavis and you have Devers. So Dahlbeck feels like, to me, like a guy you would trade unless one of those other guys changes positions. And by the way, Cassis, also a corner guy. So you have Cassis, Dahlbeck, Devers, and Chavis all essentially in the same spot. Then this is where it gets interesting to me, because I don't think people understand how bad the Red Sox farm system is. Their number five prospect is Tanner Houck, who was a first-round pick a couple of years ago, 2017. 5.17 ERA. He had a little glimmer last year in the minor leagues, but otherwise, he's been a bust.
Where's Groom?
Number six, Jay Groom. First round in 2016. Hasn't pitched this year. Recovering from Tommy John.
Right.
So Groom was a first-rounder in 2016. He sucks. And he's hurt. Houck, 2017 first-rounder. He sucks. Cassis, 2018 first-rounder. He isn't doing a ton yet in the minor leagues, and it's way too early to know on Cassis. Those are your top six. Seven is C.J. Chatham, who's a shortstop who doesn't hit for any power. You just signed Xander Bogaerts for 6 years. This kid's 24 years old. Bye-bye. See you later. They're going to trade his ass. He's not going to play. Number eight is Antony Flores, who's in extended spring training. He's an 18-year-old who is an international free agent. 18 and an extended spring. Not even worth talking about yet, if you ask me. Jaron Duran, number nine, center fielder in Salem. 22 years old. Salem is A-ball. He's hitting .408, which is great. But it's A-ball. He's a seventh-round pick, and he's 22.
Yeah, this is the kid that Matt McCarthy just wrote about on our website.
Okay, so he's in A-ball, and he's 22. A-ball. Now, if he gets up to the double A and starts hitting, then talk to me. A-ball, I don't care. It's irrelevant.
Okay.
Number 10 prospect, Durbin Feltman. This is the guy that everybody told me was going to come up last year and close after they drafted him. He was a third-round pick. His ERA at Portland, double A, 6.28. He's walked 14 guys in 17 and a third. So those are your top 10 prospects in the Red Sox system right now. So aside from the fact that it doesn't feel like you have a lot of help coming, now Chavis is already here, I don't know how much you have there that you can really deal. What do you have there that you can deal? I don't want to trade Chavis. Darvinson Hernandez, maybe, but you don't have any pitching down there. You're going to trade the one guy who throws in the mid-90s?
Now, if you take Chavis out, it sounds like maybe two guys that you could actually maybe get something for. And even them don't sound, you know, the two that I'm thinking about don't even sound that great.
They don't have much. They don't. You know, honestly, I want to do a whole show on this some night because people love the prospects. They have a big problem in the minor leagues. A big effing problem. And the pitchers that they've whiffed on, Jay Groom, Trey Ball, Tanner Houck, they all suck. They didn't even come close on any of those. Now, Groom's hurt, so we'll see. But before he got hurt, he wasn't pitching well. All right, welcome back to the Baseball Report. It's time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Little technical glitch. There it happens. Serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years is Big Y. I told you, Chris Sale on the mound tonight against the Houston Astros. I'd like to see the Red Sox get in some sort of role here. Am I wrong for like thinking that this is getting sort of an important time of the year? I know it's only 50 games in, but all they've done is tread water, really, overall. In any case, Carlos Correa, 4-for-16 with a homer against Sale, 688 OPS. And you'd say, why the hell would you give me those numbers and they sound so ordinary? Like, they're really not decisive in either direction. And you know why I'm telling you about him? Because he homered against Sale last week. That's why. Wade Miley, Steve Pierce is the guy to watch. 7-for-21. That's a 333 average, two home runs, a 967 OPS, and Pierce is starting to hit. Six for his last 13. He had a home run, three hits yesterday against the Blue Jays. It feels like Pierce is starting to come out of it. Again, I think he's hitting his last four, five out of his last seven, so it feels like he's starting to wake up a little bit there. Steve Pierce at the top of the Red Sox lineup.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.